Thank you for listening to the Content Magazine podcast, Conversations with Silicon Valley's Creatives. I'm Daniel Garcia, your host and the cultivator of Content Magazine, published by SV Creates. Alrighty. This episode of the Content Magazine podcast is brought to you by Bonfire, a Silicon Valley digital agency building elevated websites for ambitious brands. Find out more about Bonfire at bonfire.com.
Well, you're listening to the Content Magazine podcast. My name is David Valdespino. I am the production manager and developer at Content Magazine, and today we have a treat, special treat. We have Daniel Garcia, the cultivator and creative visionary for Content Magazine, sitting down with us today to talk about all things Daniel Garcia. So how are you doing today, Daniel?
Good. How are you doing, David?
I'm doing good.
Good. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah.
I know it's warm today, actually.
Yeah.
It's nice. Yeah.
Cool. So we've got you here. You got a photo show coming up. And when does that happen?
May 5th at Art Arc Gallery, from 6 to, oh, I forget the time. 6, 5, 6. It'll be on the internet. I think it's 6 to 10, 6 to 9 for, it's part of First Friday for May 5th.
Awesome.
So, yeah, at the Art Arc.
So that'll be the opening exhibition?
Yeah, and then the closing one will be, I forget. I should have looked at these dates. It's like a week later or something like that.
You know, we throw the spaghetti at the wall.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
Cool. So
but May 5th. Be there May 5th.
May 5th, part of First Friday. San Jose, downtown San Jose Art Walk.
Yeah.
Cool. And so is this your – how I imagine you've done some photo shows in the past. You are a photographer. You are the
– Yeah. But actually, I've only – when I was younger, I did a group show with some people. I had a couple pieces in that, and that's like a long time ago. Then right at when COVID hit, I had a bunch of content poster or portraits that I did for Content Magazine that were at the ICA. Mm-hmm. But that was to open in April, and COVID hit in March, right? So that show, even though it was up for like 2 years because nobody was in there, people really didn't see it. So that was the only other show that I really ever had.
Yeah,
so this will really be my first solo show.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did that kind of leave a fire in your belly to want to get back into a exhibition space or?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. Like what I'm definitely, now that I'm printing and doing all the kind of stuff and have to get everything ready, I'm definitely thinking, why the heck did I decide to do this? So I don't know. Actually, I think some of it is I am thinking long term, like I can't do the magazine forever. I think I need to let some new people come in and take it over, make it more hip. So what do I do next? I would love to be able to develop more fine art photography. Like I have a couple projects, and even for this show, this exhibition, which is actually kind of a retrospective of a bunch of old stuff that I have that I've never really printed or shown. Even that, I wanted to put like 3-4 pieces of new things, new pieces that I'm kind of like these new ideas, but I haven't been able to get around to it. So that kind of does make it like, okay, I'm going to show this. And then, well, I want to do something with new work. So I don't know why I did this, but other than kind of thinking in terms, I would love to be able to do, to focus kind of on fine art stuff as I get older and slow down.
Yeah. And so you said this is kind of a retrospective of some older work.
Yeah.
What was kind of your inspiration going out and taking those photos previously? Or I've heard through the grapevine that, you know, considering yourself an artist may, as opposed to a photographer, which some people kind of view as the same thing, that you might not view them exactly the same, but.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think that I'm creative, and everybody's creative and everybody's artistic, but I don't think that I'm like a, you know, like a great artist. I do photography, and I think a lot of photography, there are photographers that are great artists, and I think there's artistry to photography, and there's craftsmanship and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. I mean, the reason that I did, so some of the stuff that I did is like most photographers, I started out doing street photography, right? Like you kind of walk around, you want to learn how to use the camera. So you spend these times just walking around the street, following people, taking pictures of it. So I did that. And some of those negatives I've never even printed. So I wanted to kind of like say, oh, like I've done street photography. I should have a show for that. So there's negatives that I've never even, and there are still, even as I'm looking, deciding which to print, like there's other ones I'm like, oh, I should do this. Like I just don't have enough time. So that's some of the things. So it's kind of like my journey is starting out as 35 millimeter photographer. I moved to doing 120 I did 4x5. I've done tons of Polaroids. I was really into a whole Polaroid 4x5 phase for a long time, so I'm going to have a bunch of those up. And then I kind of had this little pet camera that I would mess around with. That's called a 645. So it's kind of like different formats. And then so the name of the exhibition is Time Frames and Formats, because each kind of like time frame, I was using a different format. It was like, you know, you get into something, you know what I mean? So, So it does that. And then it'll kind of like have then a wall of the portraits I've done with Content Magazine, which are basically all digital. So mm-hmm. It's kind of like a collection of different formats and different time frames.
Cool. And was that kind of part of the draw to those kind of projects? Was the gear kind of the catalyst for going out and taking photos? Like, are you a big gearhead with your photography stuff?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think, I think more of the inspiration of choosing the formats were being inspired by other photographers, mm-hmm. other than 35mm, which, I mean, when I started out, I mean, that's the only thing I knew, right? I mean, I did yearbook in high school, and that's how I found out about it, right? So I didn't even know that there was 120 medium format, large format. I didn't even know those things existed. But then as you start to do it, like you play guitar, right?
Yeah.
So you start to play on your whatever, your Fender Squire.
Yeah.
And then you start, next thing you know, you bought a Gibson, you know.
Totally. Yeah, I think with photos, guitar pedals would probably be a better equivalent, because it kind of like changes the whole tint and tone. And
oh, yeah.
But how do you feel that different formats impact the work? Or are there certain things that are better to capture with different types of cameras?
Yeah, totally. I mean, 35mm is great for photojournalism, on the go, street photography. Like, it's really good for that. 4x5, of course, you have to put it on the tripod. It's very still. So that's, you know, a lot of landscape people do that. Portrait photographers. My kind of thing was like I was kind of inspired by photographers. And so like with 4x5, there's like Irving Penn, some of the older photographers. And even there was sports photographers back in the day that would shoot sports with 4x5. So I, at that period, kind of wanted to challenge myself to see if I could create images on one frame, you know, control everything and kind of shoot it studio and even outside mm-hmm. and kind of do that. And it was kind of like a throwback to a very kind of like 40s kind of feel, like the way they do. I pose people was kind of like that golden age of Hollywood kind of influence type of thing.
Yeah.
So that was kind of that. And then 120 was more just because I was doing a lot of model portfolios and jobs and stuff. And 4x5 was super expensive, right? Mm-hmm. It's one frame per shot. And the client wants to see 100 different options. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So that gets super expensive. So I was like, okay, well, I can shoot 120 and I can get, I did 6x7, Pentax 6x7 for your Gearies. But, and so that gives you like 8 frames and stuff like that. So I was able to get more.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And so did you go to school for photography?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, actually I did. Yeah. I mean, I started out in high school, senior year, I was on yearbook, and then I decided to go to Chico and I took some photo classes up there. I was going to play soccer, but I got injured. So I went to Chico, took photo classes and started to do stuff. But I learned a lot in high school developing my own film, built a darkroom. Then I was there and I decided, like, you know what? I want to do photography. So I went to Academy of Art, and then from there, I just kind of, but then I dropped out, unfortunately. I think it was a bad move, but I took a fashion portfolio class. I got 10 prints, and I went out after I printed them out. I went around and got a little portfolio, you know, those big, huge cases that you carry around rather than on the iPad. And I went to a local model agency here in town, and the day before, they had just hired the kind of like their staff fired their staff photographer. So she said, hey, can you start tomorrow? Do you want to do it? So I started doing that and I started shooting, and I was making pretty good money. It was like all cash and all the kind of stuff. And I was like, why am I paying to go to school? But I think I missed out on some of the technical aspects, and I missed out definitely on the importance of network, you know, like working with other disciplines and other artists and stuff like that. So I just kind of was thrown into like doing that. And I freelanced for maybe like 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so how do you view that kind of difference between like a classical education, art school, that type of stuff, and the things that you've learned just going out and doing it, right? I heard also, like, you know, Content Magazine, but people would use magazines and stuff like that to be inspired for a lot of their work, whether that was photography or cycling or fashion or other things like that.
Totally.
So what do you think that you gained by just going out there and doing it?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I don't know how much you gain. I mean, it's the school of hard knocks, right? So everything you're learning because you're making a mistake almost, right? So that's not, it's great to be able to sit in the classroom, have somebody tell you and give you like some warning signs. So looking back, I probably should have stayed in school. I think what I gained from it was, and I guess maybe this is more my personality, is like I'm just a doer, right? I'm not a really good booky person. So everything, like even when I decided to leave Chico and go to Academy of Art, is because I was finding myself every single day going into the library and looking through these old magazines of like Aperture magazine, which is a photo magazine, and art magazines, and looking at all these photographers. And I was giving myself my own kind of like history lesson of photography. I was reading about daguerreotypes and all that kind of stuff, like the process and Man Ray and like all these different kind of things of like these different photographers. And so I kind of educated myself and kind of just learned by doing it. And so I think when I got to Academy of Art, there was a couple classes that were super technical, like gamma rays and like doing all this kind of stuff, which is really good to know. But I was just like, I want to shoot, right? So and even like the magazine, like I don't know how to do a magazine, so I just started doing it. So, but I think it makes you tired having to do everything on your own.
Yeah, it's funny. I've talked to artists that have kind of done it the going to school type way, getting a degree in art way, and then people that have done the school of hard knocks style way.
Yeah.
And both people kind of have give and takes from from those situations.
Yeah.
One thing I've heard a lot from classically trained artists and other folks as well was they teach you the rules so that you learn how to break them.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
Especially with art.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
yeah, I think I probably actually doing my self-taught thing is like I kind of like was breaking the rules and super not knowing it and enjoying it, and then learned all the rules and then try to do it, and then trying to teach yourself to break them again, which becomes hard because then you're by that time you've done it so much within that system, it's hard to break out of that kind of thing.
Totally. Yeah. So you were doing studio photography, fashion photography, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And then weekends after work, you would go out and do street photography?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was something like that. Like I would go, yeah. I mean, I was doing freelance. I was a freelance photographer doing like mainly model portfolios. So there at that particular time, there was like a lot of different model agencies and model agency schools. So I would do like the headshots for a couple different agencies. So that would be like two times a week I'd go in and sit and then do kind of like a Z card or a model composite for the headshots for those models. But then like during the day, right? So I wouldn't have to be there till like 7 o'clock or whatever. So during the day, if I wasn't processing, whatever, I could do whatever. So I'd walk around and shoot. So, you know, I'd go all over San Jose and San Francisco and just kind of like shoot or, you know.
Yeah. And so going from taking photos of models who I'm sure are well trained and having their photo taken to kind of getting people that may not have ever had their portrait done, like doing content, right?
Yeah.
What have you noticed, like the difference between those two things, and what did you enjoy or what's different about them?
Yeah, I think, you know, since I was doing so much for beginning actors and models, so when I say excuse me, when I say models, I mean even beginning actors or people, you know, building their acting commercial modeling stuff. So it was a lot of people who didn't have a lot of experience. And then there's kids too, right? So, and then, you know, some of my friends like Leo, if you're listening, who went around, traveled the nation shooting at different model agencies. You had people who had no, that weren't really photogenic, who really didn't have it, right? And so you still had to get good shots. So, and you would shoot anywhere from like 10, like on a Saturday, you could shoot 10 to 40 people in a day, right? Two looks on each person, right? So two rolls of 36. And you had to do a headshot, three quarters and full length, right? So you got really good at working with people and kind of like, what's the right lighting situation? What's the tricks to make people look good? So I kind of, and that's some of the kind of reasons why when I went to do the magazine, it was like, you know, everybody deserves to be considered valuable and like a celebrity. So I'll try to bring that same type of, so like if you shoot Brad Pitt or whatever, right? You're going to get all the bells and whistles and everybody's going to treat him good. He's going to get like his little cocktail in between the shoot, right? So my kind of thing is like, he doesn't deserve any more credit than Brian and Cherry from Ad Hominem, right? They should be treated the same way. So that was kind of my focus of bringing it, like, how can we make a kind of like a Rolling Stone interview style magazine with local people. So having the experience of working with all these kind of like unexperienced models constantly every day, I think that's the same approach that I bring to shooting regular people. But it is great when you do work with an actor or an artist, you know, a musician or something like that, who understands, you know, kind of like the image that you're portraying. That's why musicians are great, because they understand, you know, they get a story and they get like a mood, right? And actors are great too. Like, and you could just do, and so that's always fun to work with people. And models, you know, that I have worked with that are great models. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, it's like, you know, you're in sync, like you're in the pocket, right?
Totally. Yeah. Totally. So you started up Content Magazine. We're coming into 12 years here.
Yeah.
When you started out, it's an art magazine, creative magazine.
Yeah.
Was that your initial thought, was to do profiles and features on artists, or were there any other like subjects that?
Yeah, I always wanted to do creatives, right? That was kind of my thing. And I have a, you know, kind of like a, I think, I was going to say like a broader term of creative, but I think now it's kind of the popular term of creative, where it's everybody's creative, right, in their position and what they're doing. So that was the thing. And it's more of a profiles magazine of the creative people. So that was always my approach. You know, I kind of like envisioned like Rolling Stone or Interview style for the South Bay, right? So it's giving honor and respect for the locals and doing it in a way that would feel international. So we're close to it. I mean, we got more things. I want to amp it up a little bit more.
Totally.
The next 12 years, we'll try to get more avant-garde or something, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So how has that art scene in the South Bay, San Jose, how has that changed over the course of that decade plus?
Yeah, I mean, that's a kind of an interesting question, because in some ways, I was talking to somebody the other day and they were talking about like, oh, and yeah, this scene really has grown since 2017. And I was thinking like, oh, actually, no, that scene has been here for years. So San Jose is a funny town. There's been always kind of stuff. I do think that there's a little bit more density. You know what I mean? So you get more people and you get more density, then you get a little bit more stuff. You get a little bit more quality, you get a little bit more. So I think that's kind of helped. And, you know, that's a little bit negative in some ways, especially if you live out in the suburbs. But density and population and people are very crucial for a creative, vibrant art scene, actually any kind of scene. So as we've gotten a little bit more density downtown, I think the art scene has kind of like improved on both sides, the creators and then the supporters. So I think that's kind of, I think visibility has grown. I think with the internet and all that kind of stuff, people have been able to find more connections to what's going on. And, you know, I'm going to say content has played a role in it. I think that we've helped kind of change the view, I think, even if locals, of themselves and the place. And I've even seen other kind of spinoffs of different kind of things, of people doing things kind of like Content Magazine, and they're doing it because they're like, oh, content doesn't do it good enough, right? So that's good though, right? That's creating more platforms for stuff to happen. So yeah, I think it's changed in with the density, the use of social media, and Content Magazine has been a important part of it.
Awesome. Yeah, so you have an exhibition coming up in May.
Yep.
At Art Arc.
Yeah.
It's gonna be part of First Friday.
Yeah.
The opening is.
Yeah.
Has preparing for this show kind of changed or developed your perspective of the people that you're featuring in the magazine? Because you're working with artists all the time, and now you're putting up a show.
Yeah. I think when I used to do interviews, right, when I had to do more interviews, I think that would inform that more, to have a little bit more insight. But I don't know. That's a tough question. I don't think by doing the show, I mean, I guess I'm pretty sympathetic to artists and what they have to do. Now I'm feeling it. I don't know. That's a tough question. I don't know how to really answer that, other than I think if I was doing interviews, I might be able to bring more of the details of having to set up a show into that. But as a photographer, you know, I definitely want to connect and make a rapport when you're shooting and stuff like that. But the reality is, like, you have like an hour or something like that. So good photographers, you definitely build a relationship. But at the same time, I'm still trying to make a rapport to get the shot. I'm like on the job. So for that hour that I'm shooting and doing stuff, I'm not necessarily trying to build a deep relationship. I'm trying to get a shot. Mm-hmm. And if you look at some other, I didn't really realize this, that I do this. And then now that I've found some other photographers that are really like Annie Leibovitz, and I've talked to some other people and stuff like that, you see that they kind of do. And, you know, Netflix has stuff on different photographers. You kind of see this weird balance between the actual building relationship and then the thing that's just kind of happening to do the job. So I think if I was doing more interviews, fortunately I do the podcast. So I think I understand the artist's journey. But for the photos, the only thing it's going to add is I might drop one or two lines that I understand that they know to build a rapport so that I can get them to sit on the floor and act stupid. So, I mean, it's kind of a weird thing. Photography is a weird – portrait photography, editorial portrait photography is a weird thing because it's a relationship. You're doing it together.
Yeah.
At the same time, you're trying to get the person not to think about themselves, and you're trying to create something you kind of see. So it's a little fake in a way.
So you're curating the show, your own photo show.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
But you're curating a magazine quarterly.
Yeah.
How does this show feel different than doing the layout for the magazine or getting those photos together?
That's cool. I'm glad that you said that, and because that's a good question, because what I was doing, actually, I was getting it together, and I was thinking like, oh, I don't know what goes together. And I even told myself, wait a second, I do this friggin' all the time. So I was like, just trust your instincts. So, yeah. I mean, the tough thing is, I think with when you're doing a thing, there's images that I want to print because I want to see what they look like. There are some that I actually have printed, so I already have kind of like an emotional attachment to them. There are things that I remember the time period. I really very much remember what I was going through and what was happening. So to try to separate and kind of look like, well, what's going to be good images? And then, you know, as anybody does, it's like you're doing it and you notice everything that's wrong, right? And so it's like, oh, you just like go through negatives and you're just like, this is stupid. Like, this is stupid. Why am I doing this? And like, yeah. So I think having the time frames and the formats help kind of give it a shape, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That will do it. But, you know, my stuff's pretty boring is the problem. Photos are very boring in some ways. They just sit there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what do you – so you – photos sit there, but they're capturing, you know, like an active moment, right?
Yeah.
So – I guess, what do you hope that people are taking away from your photos when they're looking at them, other than that they're boring?
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I want people to take away is, I guess, really, I mean, my kind of thing is I love people and I love photography, right? So those are the two things. So I hope people see all the diversity and the scope of people that I've interacted with and kind of get a sense of them and like them. And then photography too, like there's so many different forms and mediums. And, you know, as a photographer, you know, I could do a landscape, or I could do a cityscape, or an abstract, or a portrait. Do you know what I mean? There's a whole, a portrait or a fashion, like you can, the photography can really flex its kind of like different kind of genres. But I guess, you know, you could do the same thing if you can draw. If you can draw, you can do whatever. So I don't know. I guess what I want people to take away in some way is like, oh yeah, he's not a bad photographer.
So rewind and taking it back. This is one of my favorite questions to ask photographers.
Uh-oh.
What was your relationship like with photography as you were growing up and coming up, even before you started taking photos? And I ask that because, you know, there's a lot of things that go into photos. Like, I have memories of the shoebox under the bed.
Right.
People that I'd never met, but my parents were in the picture, right?
Right.
But then there's also, like, you know, socioeconomic class and, like, people's ability to afford photos and, like, some people's like reverence for like the three portraits that they have in their house, right, like grandparents or something else. So that's kind of the context of that.
Yeah, yeah. That's a really good question. I you know, the reality is I would say that I didn't really have a connection to photography per se, other than that it was, you know, imagery was a way into the rest of the world, right? So I was into art. Like, I loved different art. So, because my mom kind of raised us doing a lot of more crafty stuff, but like creative stuff. So, if there was an image or something like that that I liked in a magazine or whatever, I would cut it out. And then I really was into soccer. So, then I would get like all these European magazines and then I would cut out the different photos. So, there's definitely like, I even had art that went around my room. It was a collage I did on this big newspaper type of thing. They went all the way around my room of just pictures that I cut out and pasted, right? And so it was art and soccer stuff all the way around. So that was kind of, you know, a thing, but that was never like a conscious, I wasn't thinking photography. I was thinking like, I like these things, right? So then when I got on the yearbook staff, and the big sell for me was, this is my famous line, I had a girlfriend at the time, she was on it. She's like, do yearbook, be on yearbook. And I said, well, I can't do anything. She goes, be a photographer, they don't do anything. So that was the big sale. So actually, I did it, and I developed my first roll of film, and it just felt right. And so then that's kind of like started the journey. But it wasn't really, you know, I didn't have like a special relationship. I mean, my grandfather, I do have some old negatives that my grandfather took from when he was stationed in Hawaii during World War II and stuff like that. But I didn't even know those existed. So it wasn't like that was, oh, that was formative and he had a Brownie camera and that shaped who I am. It was more, I had an opportunity to take a class and play around and not have to do schoolwork. And then I found that, oh, photography is fun and cool. Awesome. And it opens up doors too. I have to say, like, especially at the younger point, even now, it's like, you have a camera, you have two cameras or whatever, and you know what you're doing. You can go pretty much anywhere. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed that part. When I was younger and I started out, like, you know, every club in San Francisco, I was just able to go in because I could just, you know, I knew the people or whatever. So that was kind of, you know, fun just to be able to have access and those kind of things. And, you know, as a young man shooting fashion, you know what I mean? It was like also, I mean, girls, you know what I mean? So it's, none of it's like super, you know, probably a lot of it, all the motives are probably pretty yucky. But, you know, in the process of that, I fell in love with photography, right? Yeah. But it's not like a family long tradition or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because when I ask photographers that question, it usually goes into like the act of taking photos.
Yeah.
Whereas like we see images like on a minute to minute basis, right? More and more it's moving towards video instead of just photo. But that's cool. That's interesting.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of interesting. I mean, like the act of taking the picture. I mean, for me, it's been so much about people. So it's always just been hanging out and I get the energy out of that, right? For still life's an abstract, right? That's kind of different because you are trying to create something or grab something. Street photography is fun. That's a fun process too because you're trying to catch these little moments in between things. I always create it as like you're stealing, right? That was very much like kind of like almost like being a thief, right? Because you're going around and you're capturing this person. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but those were all fun, you know.
And were you the kind of person that couldn't wait to go develop the film and see the pictures that you took?
Yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, yeah, nowadays with the back of the camera, the digital, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I've told people this too, is that I've lost some of my photo skills because of the digital camera, right? The process and the thinking process that you had to have when you were shooting film and you couldn't see it till a day later was totally different. The you had to be much more in tune. So I think that's why I think it's good for people have to shoot film because you could shoot it and you not know what you're getting. So I have like, even looking at you with the light right now, like I can think about what that's going to look like on film, mm-hmm. right? I can see the in process somewhat, you know what I mean? And I used to be able to judge like how bright the light was, like, cause you're so used to it. Nowadays with the digital, it's like, oh, what's going to click? And then like, oh, I can move that around. Right.
Yeah.
But, back in the day, man, it was, yeah. I mean, when I started shooting, there was like Kodak had Kodachrome 25, Tri-X, right. Was 400, which was like fast. And then, they came out with Ektachrome 100. Mm-hmm. So those are pretty, slow now. I was doing something the other day, and I just cranked my camera up to 1600. Those are ISOs. These are called ASA back in the day. So those are like the film speeds and stuff. So, but 25, right? When you figure, I mean, that is like, so 400, 200, 150, 25. So that's five stops or five shutter speeds slower, right? So that means if I was shooting here at a speed of 60, which I can hold with my hand, I would have to go open up five times. So that's 30, 15, what's eight? That's like a second.
Yeah.
And so you can't hold still with that. So you had to have tripods and lights and, yeah, different game. Anyway, wow. I don't remember what the question was, but that's...
Yeah, no, but now I hear I hear folks, like, I get anxiety thinking about coming home with 5,000 photos. You know, like, I know people do photo projects and they're out for the day and they'll come back with 2,000 photos. Yeah. And then the editing is, like, a whole another process now, too.
Yeah.
But
it's kind of, I mean, digital, I mean, I love digital because it is so much more efficient, so much economical, so much more environmentally better. I mean, just all the process. I mean, you can go out, shoot tons, and you can just throw it away. You can play around. You can just, and it's just delete. It's gone, right? Mm-hmm. Film, you know, you can play around. You don't know exactly if you got it. And then there's still a whole other, the process of processing can go crazy. Even if you have a great lab, still stuff goes crazy once in a while. Something can happen to the film. If you process yourself, then you always make mistakes, right? So there's like this whole other, then you have to still print it too, unless, you know, you scan it or whatever. So there's like, it's a whole many more, lot more steps.
Yeah. And so this exhibition that you're doing, you've printed all of those pieces yourself.
Yeah.
There's digital, there's analog.
Yeah.
What you're going to break them down based on medium? Is that kind of your vision for it, or like the method of photography, right?
I'm trying to figure that out. I got 2 weeks to figure that out. Yeah, actually, excuse me. I'm going to have kind of like my 35 kind of street stuff. I mean, the only stuff that I'm really printing from 35 is all street stuff, because at that particular time I was doing lots of kind of fashion stuff. And the reason I even got out of 35 is it's just so grainy and ugly in some ways. So that's why I went to 120. But so a lot of that is just going to be street stuff. So I have 35 millimeter. That's very much this kind of time period of my life, right? That's kind of the young me. And then it kind of moves into the 120 and the 4x5 and those kind of stuff. So it's going to be pretty much, it'll be together as formats. And that pretty much hits a timeline of my life, but not exactly. 120 and 4x5 stretched and popped back in, so it'll be a little bit different. So I'll do it more by the frame size, the medium size, yeah.
And as you were going through the archive, kind of looking at this old film and photos, was there anything that you realized or something that you remembered that you had forgot about? Were there any aha moments as you were compiling this show?
Well, it's definitely the street stuff. There was stuff that I never even knew that I had, right? I just processed the thing and had to do other stuff. And I really did not have a chance to explore all those or print all those. So that was kind of interesting. I mean, I used to go to the flea market in Berryessa and the Capitol and just roam around. And then I used to go to San Francisco and roam around. And I'm downtown. I got several prints from just downtown San Jose. There's even one of, I have one, I don't know if I'm going to show, but it's of this building's in the back of it.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's kind of fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be Art Arc in May.
May 5th.
What kind of photos are people expecting, like the content of the photos, right? So you're going to have some street photography. There's going to be some portrait shots. There's going to be content.
Yeah.
Stuff.
I'd say probably like 90% is people, and then 10% would be either buildings or plants.
And how many photos roundabout are going to be on display, you think?
100, 200? I don't know. I don't know what it is. I really don't know.
Awesome.
I did like, so for my 120 fashion stuff, I did two shots of each one just because, but actually I might decide in the last minute to pull one out, but just because I thought that would be kind of fun. But yeah, I don't know. I actually don't know how many. I've printed everything. The only thing I have left to print is I haven't gotten to my 4x5 portraits yet. And so that's what I got to do this week and get those done. And then I have to go through and spot the prints and frame them and then hang them. And then I haven't even worried about writing the words or what the thing is yet.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So is there – should we clap again?
Yeah. Well, just May 5th at Art Arc in San Jose for First Friday.
Yeah.
Come on by and hang out, have a beer, and check out the work, and then tell me what you think. And then I don't know if I'm going to sell anything. I'll probably have some things for sale. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't know. This is more me just kind of like having a brain dump. And I definitely feel, quite honestly, to add another little thing on this, I definitely feel doing this show, I'm over. Like this stuff, I've seen it, I've done it, and definitely I want to work on something new. It definitely got me the bug to do that. Yeah. But that's going to be a slow process because it has also made me tired.
Yeah. And do you have any vision on kind of where that would take you? Is there any like anything you're drawn to, like nature or people or just in the general aspect?
Yeah, I mean, I got a couple different I'm probably going to be doing some more still life kind of things. Do you know what I mean? Kind of like the classic back in the old days. And then I want to do abstract outdoor stuff that kind of plays with tones and shapes and stuff like that. So kind of like the old school people used to do when they used to have this F64 club, Ansel Adams and those kind of guys. Yeah. So kind of like playing with that type of stuff is what I want to do. But it's going to be long term. But I want to put together something. I would love to get a residency. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
To like have 6 months in Spain just to do photography.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Well, this sounds like it's going to be the launching pad for your fine arts exhibition career coming up. So if everybody comes out on May 7th.
May 6th.
May 6th.
May 5th.
May 5th. First Friday.
May 5th. First Friday. Cinco de Mayo. Come out and see stuff. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Daniel.
Thanks, David.
Pleasure talking to you, and I'll definitely be there to check it out.
Cool. Thanks.
Cool.
Thank you for listening to the Content Magazine podcast. Follow us on social media at Content Mag. Become a member and help us to continue to tell the stories of the South Bay creatives. This episode's music is 408 by Jack Pavlina. Follow him on Spotify and also on his Instagram at Jack Pavlina Music.